section of the Word of God and a blessed portion. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone up to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, in whom he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is of the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand these errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." May the Lord bless his words. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you this morning for your word. We thank you for the account of the testimonies of those who have trusted your word. For your word reveals your dear son, through whom we have access to thee. We rejoice in this. We thank you for this brother and for the work of the Gideons. We pray that as we meditate for a few moments upon thy precious word, what the psalmist said, may indeed the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. This psalm is a twofold witness to the glory of God. There's a witness of the skies, the heavens declare the glory of God, and there is a witness of his word. And beginning in verse 7, you'll notice the various expressions that the psalmist uses as he speaks of the word of God. God has been pleased to reveal himself to us. While the heavens declare the glory of God, the witness of the stars tells us about God. What God is like. But if we're ever going to know God himself, what he is like, his nature, his personality, God has to reveal himself to us. He has to take the initiative. And he has done that in his precious word. The word of God, it reveals who God is and what God is like. The stars tell us that God is almighty, that he is powerful, that he is eternal. He's omnipotent and omniscient. And his infinite order is his immeasurable power. The stars tell us that. We stand in awe when we consider the heavens. But the scriptures tell us of a person who loves us, who cares for us, one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That is the God of the Bible. That is the word of God that is spoken to us, that the psalmist spoke on in verses 7 to the end of this 19th psalm. So the first thing we notice in verses 7 through 10 is that the word of God, it challenges us. He speaks of the sun returning, and he's as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. The sun returns on its circuit. And we understand the figurative language there. We know that the earth revolves around the sun. But God's word is that which returns sinners to God through the redemption that our Lord Jesus purchased at Calvary's cross. It returns us to him. The message of the scriptures is that of man's rebellion against God and of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Man's complete ruin in sin and God's perfect remedy in Christ. And by the way, it is only through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus that creation will ever be restored to its pristine beauty. And Romans chapter 8 tells us it's going to take place when our Lord returns and when we are manifested as the sons of God in that day. And to use the words of Darby's hymn, "And can it be?" Or, "And is it so? I shall be like thy son. Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own blessed likeness brought." And in that day, when we as the sons of God, everyone who's been saved by matchless grace, are manifested in that day, creation itself will be delivered from the bondage into which it has fallen through the sin of man. You see, man is ever challenged by the word of God. For the scripture says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." This is a challenge of the word of God. This is what it does. Now the unconverted man, he may rumble through this alley and that alley of the philosophies of man. And as he does, he learns that they're all blind alleys. But the word of God cuts through the marrow of the soul, and it challenges man as to his sin, and it challenges man as to the salvation that's in Christ. The law of the Lord is pure. The commandment of the Lord is just and right. No wonder the psalmist said, "They're sweeter than honey and the honeycomb." God's word challenges us, and it brings him back to the place of departure. And everyone who's saved by grace has to say it. God restored what he took not away. What I lost in Adam, I regained in the person of Christ when he saved his poor soul of mine. The word of God challenges us. More than that, the word of God cheers us. And I think of verse 8 in particular. It says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." It is God's word that cheers the heart. Nothing else can, like the word of God. Can you imagine dying without a knowledge of what the word of God says? Can you imagine dying without even knowing about John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Imagine dying without knowing that blessed truth. You see, it is God's word that gives us this certainty. It is God's word that cheers us. God's word is guidance for today. And God's word is full of promises for tomorrow. There's nothing can cheer the heart like the word of God. But God's word not only challenges us, it not only cheers us, but it changes us. Notice verses 9 and 10. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More are they to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold." It changes us. You see, in the 19th chapter of Luke, you have the story of Zacchaeus. We talk about this to the boys and girls in Sunday school. Zacchaeus was that wee little man. I see Ruth Patton, she just delights in that song. I've seen her sing it to the boys and girls. I've heard her sing it. And I've seen her actions when she does. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but when he came down from the tree, having believed the word of the Lord, he said to the Lord, "If I have taken anything," and you see, he was a tax collector, and he was filling his own pockets from the poor, said, "Now if I've taken anything, I'll pay it back fourfold." A covetous heart was changed to a giving heart. All the change. The word of God changes us. You see, the word of God has a capacity to convict us. You see, it has an uncanny way of confronting us with our sins, the word of God. It's like a surgeon. The word of God slices away all the proud flesh and the other things, and it gets right to the very heart of the matter. It goes all the way to the soul. Our brother quoted Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God, it has a power to convict. More than that, it has a power to cleanse. It has a power to cleanse. The word of God presents two types of cleansing. There's that radical cleansing of the blood of Christ, which delivers us from the penalty of sin. But then there's that cleansing of the word of God. It's called water. The washing of water by the word, Ephesians chapter 5. It's delivering us from the power of sin, day by day. And beloved, apart from the word of God, we cannot be delivered from the power of sin. The 119th Psalm in the 9th verse says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? The answer is given by taking heed according to the word of God. The word of God not only convicts us, it cleanses us. There's that recurrent cleansing that's found in the word of God. And when our Lord prayed in John 17, he could pray, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, the word of God not only reveals, but it removes our defilement. What a blessing the word of God is. Not only does it have the power to convict, not only does it have the power to cleanse, it has the power to correct. The power to correct. For, as the psalmist says in verse 12, who can understand these errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. See, the word of God will cleanse us from unwitting sins, and it will withhold us from presumptuous sins. So the psalmist prays in this psalm. It is God's word that has the power to keep us in fellowship with himself. Nothing else will do it. And the psalmist closed by saying, what else could he say? So that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's apply these truths for a moment. Application number one. We should ask ourselves a question this morning. Is God's word doing this for me? What he did for the psalmist. It's wonderful to objectively read the heavens declare the glory of God. And then the truth concerning the word of God, these two great revelations of God. It's wonderful. Is it doing for me what it did for the psalmist? So he could say, these truths are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. These words of Psalm 19 sound so good, and they sound so good when we quote them, but I must get beyond that. I must get to the personal application of the word of God. You see, I praise God for the availability of the testaments that the Gideons make to those who travel, and to nurses and servicemen and many others, to children in school. It's when it's read. Are we reading the word of God? Are we applying the word to ourselves? You see, this word must challenge us. It must cheer us. It must change us. It must convict us. It must cleanse us. Yes, it must correct us. May his word do that for us by his matchless grace. Now, the word of God contains many, many promises. And we're going to sing about it. Hymn number 122. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Peter says, we have received great and precious promises. The promises of God. So let's stand together and sing the first and last of hymn number 122. If you play 121, we'll sing 122.
I looked over these, and it doesn't matter which one you use. We're going to sing the same two. Let's stand together, shall we? Our Father, we thank you that you have not given us answers. You've given us promises. Well, you expect us to believe your promises. And believing, we have life. Thy word says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing, have life to his name. We praise you for this, and now we commend this company to thee, and to the word of your grace, which is able to build us up, and give us an inheritance among all that are sanctified, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.